Welcome to Military History Podcast. My name is George Hageman, and you are listening to episode number 14, The Fight for Iwo Jima. This episode is based off of a suggestion from Brian Lidicote of Northern California, and if you yourself have any suggestions, please email them to me at militaryhistorypodcast@gmail.com, and along with your suggestion, please tell me how and if you would like to get credit in the episode for coming up with a suggestion. Also, you can now write your own script and send it to me so that I can record it and make it into an episode, or you can record your own episodes for Military History Podcast and send them to me. One more thing, I recently got an article written about me and my podcast in the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, so I want to say thank you to all who have helped and all who are willing to talk to the reporter. And you can see the link to the article on my website at www.militaryhistorypodcast.blogspot.com. Iwo Jima is one of the three volcano islands, and translated in Japanese, it means sulfur island. Before the war, Iwo Jima was therefore home to many sulfur mines and refineries. During the early and middle parts of the war, Iwo Jima served as simply an observation post, and when U.S. bombers were seen heading towards the Japanese mainland, the Japanese outpost on Iwo Jima would send a message back to the mainland, alerting the air defenses to get ready. But as the war progressed, and as the U.S. got closer to Iwo Jima, more and more Japanese troops were consequentially garrisoned on the island. General Kuribayashi was given command of the Japanese defenses, and he immediately ordered all the beach defenses to be moved inland. He did this because he believed that without naval and air support, it would be futile to attempt to defend the beach. Kuribayashi also ordered the construction of pillboxes, tunnel networks, and anti-tank ditches. The tunnel networks would make his troops almost invincible to the constant naval bombardment from the U.S. ships. Many of these pillboxes were also made out of sulfur that was found on the island, which greatly increased the speed of their construction, and it also allowed many pillboxes to have walls that were 4 feet or 5 feet thick. Lastly, Kuribayashi ordered thousands of men, artillery pieces, and 22 tanks to come to the island to help defend. And the reason why so many troops were able to come to the island is because Iwo Jima was believed to be an icon of Japanese propaganda. However, he didn't use these 22 tanks in a normal way, since he put them in stationary positions that were well hidden to prevent recon planes from seeing them from above. The motive for the Allies to invade Iwo Jima was because Iwo Jima could provide the Allies with a base of air bombardment of Japan, a base with which to blockade Japan, and a base with which to invade Japan. The island of Iwo Jima was chosen because it was halfway between Okinawa and the Marianas Islands, which was the U.S.'s current closest acquisition to the Japanese mainland. And because it was halfway between Okinawa and the Marianas, Iwo Jima was a prime pick for Admiral Nimitz, who was the commander of the U.S. fleet, because he was planning to invade Okinawa after the invasion of Iwo Jima. Iwo Jima was also in between Japan and the Marianas, and made it a prime pick for the Air Force, because from Iwo Jima they could conduct bombing raids, and Iwo Jima could also serve as a landing strip for damaged B-29s returning from Japan. Operation Detachment became the name of the attack on Iwo Jima, which started in early 1945, and the first phase of the attack was a massive naval bombardment for 3 months.